Friends, the Christmas story is 2,000 years old, and yet it's new again today. That's what we celebrate year after year, generation after generation. That story so ancient, but yet still speaks to our hearts. It still touches our souls. It still saves the world. As we hear the story again today, we'll weave together the words of scripture and the lyrics of hymns to see how the promises of God are made new to us. I invite you to remain seated as we sing the hymns throughout this part of the service. We'll stand again when we get to our closing hymn at the end. And for those worshiping from home, you'll see the words from each hymn drop into the comments down below so you can join us each time that we sing. Our starting point today is back in ancient Israel. I didn't bring my map today, but we're going back to ancient Israel, where the ancient prophets foretold the birth of Jesus hundreds of years before he was born. Like us, the prophets of Israel looked at the world around them and saw that so much needed to be changed. The people sank into despair, into a deep darkness. They could find no light, no hope. And then the voice of a prophet sounded like an alarm, urging people to wake up and step out of their fear and despair. Isaiah's words brought the light of God's hope to the people of Israel, and they still shine with hope for us today.
The people who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
The wonder of Christmas can be hard to put into words. How do we give voice to the beauty and majesty of what happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? How do we proclaim the gift and the blessing of what is about to happen in our midst again this year. It's hard to put it into words. The job of the poet is to be the priest of the invisible. Poetry helps us give voice to what we know and feel to be true, even when we can't fully see it or explain it. In the poem This Year, Anne Weems helps us imagine what might be happening in heaven during this Advent season. I wonder if God comes to the edge of heaven each Advent and flings the star into the December sky, laughing with joy as it lights the darkness of the earth. And the angels, hearing the laughter of God, begin to congregate in some celestial chamber to practice their alleluias. I wonder if there's some ordering of rank among the angels as they move into procession. The seraphim bumping the cherubim from top spot. The new inhabitants of heaven standing in the back until they get the knack of it. After all, treading air over a stable and enunciating at the same time can't be all that easy. Or is everybody, that is, every soul, free to fly wherever the Spirit moves? Or do they even think about it? Perhaps when God calls, perhaps they just come, this multitude of heavenly hosts, perhaps they come, winging through the winds of time, full of expectancy, full of hope, that this year, perhaps this year, perhaps, the earth will fall to its knees in a whisper of peace.
The ancient prophets had done their job. They had woken up the people and prepared them to imagine what might be possible with God. In the story of Jesus' birth, as told in the Gospel of Luke, we see God step towards humanity in a bold new way. God turns to a young woman from Nazareth, whose name is Mary. She was the one who will bear the child named Jesus, the Son of the living God. Even though Mary is confused and afraid, she still chooses to be faithful and to do what God is asking her to do. As people of faith, we too are called to have courage in the face of fear, and to let us find the inspiration in Mary's courageous yes.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who has said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
The Christmas story comes to the most ordinary of people. Joseph was a no-name carpenter living in the small town of Nazareth. When he learns that his fiancée is pregnant with a child that isn't his, he's hurt and disappointed. He plans to quietly separate from her. But God's grace and mercy intervene. An angel comes to Joseph in a dream and tells him not to be afraid. When Joseph wakes up, he steps forward in trust and in love, following the will of God and making Mary his wife. So let us admire Joseph, who remains strong and faithful in the face of great uncertainty.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to the public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what he had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife.
Now the time of waiting is over, and the promises of God are fulfilled. There is born one whose power and glory surpasses that of Caesar Augustus or any mortal might in the world. The Savior of the world is born not in a royal palace or even a warm home. Emmanuel, God with us, comes as a vulnerable baby in a stable. The humblest of God's creation, sheep and cows, donkeys and goats. They are the ones who bear witness to the birth of God's Son. So let us listen and hear again how Jesus came to be born in Bethlehem as the prophets had foretold.
In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in the bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
children are born, the good news is shared. The new parents call everyone they know so their friends and family members can share in the joy of new life. And so it was on that night with the maker of heaven and earth. God cried out in joy and sent messengers to share the news of Jesus' birth with shepherds living in the fields. Because of their poverty and their place at the margins of life, they were ready to hear the good news of great joy that a Savior had been born to set the world aright. And when the shepherds arrived at the manger, they saw for themselves the child who made everything new, even for them, and still for us.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Thank you.
The mystery of the incarnation can never be fully put into words, yet we must try to make sense of what God has done among us and for us, making the infinite finite, making the incomprehensible understandable, making life and light in the midst of death and darkness. These are the tasks of the poets and the prophets. And so we turn to poetry to understand the mystery of Christ's incarnation among us. Hear the words of a poem called Covenant by Christine Rogers. The world, still wounded, one long, jagged scar, throbbing. And yet, this blessing, this amazing, luminous blessing in the shape of a baby comes to us each year, comes quietly in the midst of winter when all seems barren and dead, bringing the promise of our deepest life.
At last, we acknowledge the deep mystery of the incarnation. In Jesus, the eternal Word has become flesh, dwelling among human beings, filled with grace and truth. Even if we can't fully understand this wondrous love, we can receive it with awe and gratitude and joy. So let us listen and give thanks for the understanding of what God did that night in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us,
And we have seen his glory, and the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
The Christmas story is 2,000 years old, and yet it's new again today. That's what we celebrate year after year, generation after generation, that a story so ancient still speaks to our hearts. It still touches our souls. It still saves the world. The Christ child who was first born long ago will be born again so very soon, born right in our hearts. So let us prepare to receive this most glorious gift, the gift of the newborn King. And let us join together in singing our closing hymn,